Hello, beautiful soul. Thank you so much for joining me here today. I am sharing just a little short intro here to precede the official intro for the episode, just to let you know that this episode was part of the series of the Heartwork podcast, which was a dabble for me in my manifesting generator style, which I tried out for a little bit of time in 2021. And I realized very soon, once I had sort of delved into this podcast, that actually I was really feeling called to rekindle and reconnect to Unraveling, which has been my podcast for several years, and that the work of Unraveling is not done. So I just wanted to let you know that the following episode is branded as the Heartwork podcast, but it is now coming under Unraveling. I hope you enjoy the episode. Hello, lovely soul. Welcome to the Heartwork podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Barber, and I am so honored to share this space with you. As we enter into a new paradigm timeline in our evolution as human beings on this planet, the Heartwork podcast has been created to support and share wisdom from the changemakers who are devoting their lifetime to holding others through this process. This is a podcast for curious souls who are here to tune in to a different frequency of what it looks like, and most importantly, what it feels like to run a soul and heart-centered business in the modern age. Enriched with information, divine downloads, and soul wisdom to support and guide you on your path, the Heartwork podcast is a space where you can listen and receive activations from the words that are shared and tune into a more aligned, authentic, and expansive way of running a business. It is time to leave behind the outdated ways of marketing, pushing and forcing our way to society's old definitions of success, and lean into experimenting and exploring a new way to bring our heart's work to life using human-centered approaches and an alchemy of heart, soul, and sacred strategy to work in a way that feels nourishing, exciting, and fulfilling on a deep and meaningful level. You can expect to receive learnings and wisdom I have learned on my own journey in business, as well as listen to conversations with others who are walking this path alongside us. This is our time, Heartworkers. This is our time. Hello, lovely souls. Welcome to episode 3 of the Heartwork podcast. I am so honored to bring you this conversation today with the incredible, powerful force that is Vanessa Sage. I have been very, very, very honored to share space with Vanessa on several occasions. She was on my previous podcast, Unraveling, and I'll actually link that episode to the show notes because it was a really powerful episode. And I just was so excited to speak to her again for the new podcast, because she is one of the people who I think truly embodies the heart and soul of her work, and the work that she brings to the world is just so beautiful, so unique, and has a really transformational energy around it. So to be able to have this conversation with her today was such an honor. And I'm so grateful for her for sharing all of her insights and wisdom. So I'm just going to share a little bit about Vanessa before we dive into the show. So Dr. Vanessa Sage, PhD, is a priestess, cultural anthropologist, and a poet. Her work focuses on self-compassion, inner bravery, and discovering the mystery in our everyday lives. She follows an earth path and honors ancient priestess lineages while moving our practices forward to support vital leadership, reclaim the sacred in all forms, and bring us back to a soul-centered, animate world of wonder worth living in. Just even reading those words gets me so excited to share this. So we talked so much about about business and social media in this conversation. Social media is a big topic in this conversation, and I think for very good reason. There's a lot of us questioning things around social media at the moment and our presence on it in our business and how to navigate that. We talk about the goddess path, we talk about our own inner seasons, and something that I loved talking to Vanessa about was actually how her business first began, how she started out in business, and actually some of the messy truths and the real honest ways that maybe it didn't turn out quite how she expected it to, and then how she then shifted and pivoted to be doing the work that she is doing now. And this episode is coming out at a really important time. If you feel sparked, or if you feel a calling having listened to this episode, then Vanessa is beginning her next intake of Sage Priestess training on June the 23rd this month. So if you are called to dive deeper into this work, then I will be sharing all of the details in the show notes. But I'm going to just let the words and Vanessa's wisdom and energy speak for now. So I hope you enjoy this show. I would love to hear how it lands for you. So do share and enjoy. Hello, Vanessa. It's so wonderful to have you on the Heartwork podcast. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. I'm delighted to be here, and I just adore your work.
Oh, thank you so much. And I adore your work. So mutual love here. It's a nice way to start. I'd love to just introduce you to our guests, or allow you to introduce yourself to your guests by just sharing a little bit about who you are, your heart work, and the journey that's brought you to bringing that heart work to the world.
My name is Vanessa Sage. I have a PhD in cultural anthropology. I'm a poet at heart, and I've been working as a full-time priestess since 2014. And when I was in the middle of graduate school, on this big journey to become a professor, and I realized that I didn't want to do that. And that what I really wanted was to enter into this world of what I call everyday mystery. One of the things that really influenced me theoretically, actually, in graduate school was the idea that you could find both the sacred in the mundane and the mundane in the sacred. And so this interplay between everyday life and the sacred is really what drives me, as well as finding ways to be a different kind of leader in the world, where feminine wisdom, I follow a goddess path, and where our ways of doing things are valued, you know, truly valued, not this other little thing, not this like thing on the side, the separate little woo thing, but like fully sovereign, powerful, empowered women. And what does that actually look like? And how can we do that? And how can we do that with heart? And so I combine this love, this everyday wonder, I call enchant your everyday, with powerful, radiant leadership. And then we walk into the world. And what does that look like?
Oh, I don't even know where to start. just everything you say just makes my heart go, oh, yes, 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 this is what I want. This is what we need. The sacred in the mundane, that has been so supportive for me, particularly coming into motherhood. Just being in that space of there is a lot of monotony, and this, you know, and every day is very similar, and it's finding little sacred moments in that and looking for that everyday mystery has been really healing for me. So I love that you've kind of almost that's a huge part of your work. And I think probably you have inspired that in me, and that's probably been why I managed to anchor into it. being part of many of your offerings and things has always been so healing to me, and yeah, very grateful for your work in the world. So the goddess path, okay, that sparked my attention, and I love the thought of this doing this leadership but in a feminine way. How do you describe that? How do you depict that in the way you work?
It's really interesting to reflect, because it's part of my life. And so for me, when I discovered the goddess, I didn't know that there was another way to look at the divine. And so one of the things that I talk about is reclaiming the sacred in all forms. And part of that work is reclaiming the feminine in God, the feminine face of God, right? Which is actually, it's Sophia. It is the soul and the spirit that moves through all of us. And so it's a kind of way to understand and move through the world where you can actually see yourself as divine, as goddess, as sacred. And one of the things that we're taught, at least in Western spirituality, and in many world religions, in fact, is that there is somehow something beyond us, not part of us, that is transcendent. And what I work with, and while that is also true, what is also true is an embodied experience of the sacred. And I love to explore this. I love to explore this interplay between the ineffable, what we can't know, what we know but don't know, and what we experience in our very life, in our very body, in our very, you know, you mentioned giving birth, you know, this is a rite of passage that needs to be honored, right? And not in this kind of, oh, well, you can do that, but in the most holy, holy way. The goddess was once revered and was then made evil. And the consequences of that we see, because what was placed mythologically onto the goddess was the body, was the earth. And we destroy the earth, and we have terrible relationships with our bodies and our sexuality and with each other. And so it's all connected. It's all connected in terms of how we can come to be in another way and come to be in relationship with each other in another way. And it starts with ourselves, looking at yourself in the mirror. One of the things I will share with people who are first meeting me is I ask them to look at themselves and each other and to see the goddess shining back at them.
Yeah, and actually when I was watching last week's devotional, you asked everyone to look around on screen and see people's faces and see the goddess everywhere. And that was just so beautiful to almost be given permission to see it in yourself as much as you see it in others as well, I think sometimes, because, you know, from a very young age, we're told that, you know, that would be conceited or arrogant or, you know, not acceptable socially to see that power and that that divine creation in yourself. And that's something I've had to unpick a lot on my journey. But yeah, it's just such a beautiful way of looking at it and just seeing. I think definitely something that you've helped me to see is like the reflection of everything around me in nature, in every day, as a reflection of the of my own beauty and of the goddess in that. And I guess whether you resonate with the word goddess or any other word, it's just such a beautiful awareness, I guess, to come into.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, that just means so much to me. And I mean, part of the reason I do the goddess work is it's a reclamation. It's an important moment. And this reclamation is not that old. It really isn't. It's only a few generations where people have become awake to this history. And when we're still living with the wounds of persecution, and we're in this point in history where we have a certain kind of freedom to express ourselves in a way that we've never had before, but we're still having to sort through old and cultural and ancestral woundings. And part of the goddess work is actually holding space for us to do that. And so I love to research. I love the ancient world. You know, I think that there's so much value that we can learn there. But we always want to apply it to today and apply it to our everyday life as well. And so I start to lose my words sometimes. It is my heart work. Mm-hmm. It is my life's work. And I just hope to bring it to as many people as I possibly can in this lifetime. Because it's just such a beautiful path.
Yeah. And what you were saying there really resonated with this sort of, it kind of reminded me of this space of being in transition, I guess, in that we know that the old ways are not working. The new ways aren't quite yet evident. And I feel like there's a lot of people that are doing their heart work at the moment that are the sort of the gatekeepers in a way, I suppose. I don't know if that's the right word, but just the in-between people that are helping, you know, in a few generations, it will be so different, or I hope it will be so different because of the work that's being done now, which I guess is why it's so important to have people like you holding space for that transition. Yeah, it just feels a little bit, it's a vulnerable space, isn't it? It's a very tender space to be in.
Yes, it is. Yeah, we are the first generation to be doing it this way. The fact that you and I are even having this conversation, the fact that people are listening, hello, hello. Right? This is new. This is a new way of working and leading. Our jobs did not exist in our parents' generation. And sometimes I feel old. I'm only in my mid-40s, but I didn't grow up with a phone in my hand. And I am actually really grateful for that. Like, we will be the last generation who didn't grow up with a phone as children where phones are available, right? Mm-hmm. My sister had a phone. I see children now, and they have such a different experience. I don't know how I got onto this, but it's just this first little space, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we're like this weird transition. I remember getting a computer, you know. I remember when the computer came into the house. It was an Apple, and it was just there for the night. You know? Because my stepfather was an engineer, and so somehow managed to borrow a computer just to like, and it was a very exciting moment. But how is this going to play out? We have no idea what the world is gonna. We didn't know what this was gonna be like. You know, like it's very interesting times.
Yeah, it's almost like there's two ends of the spectrum, isn't there, at the moment, in that we've got like all this technology and all this ability to be connected in different ways. And, you know, like I had a mobile phone when I was 18. So I didn't go through school with it really. And it certainly wasn't a phone that could do very much. You know, I think when I got a Nikon, which I could play Snake on, that was like the most exciting thing ever. but it's like, there's this spectrum of sort of all this modern technology and all this high tech stuff. And that's really amazing. But then I also feel like there's this pull in the heart and the soul to be in the ancient ways, like to be reconnecting to them more so than probably the generations before us had, in a way. So it's like these two polar opposites and how they merge together. Again, like you say, we don't really know. we're in this is the unknown, this void space of like, we're sowing seeds right now. That's how it feels, that nothing, it hasn't really planted or grown yet, because we are having to nurture it, because they're like tender little like shoots that are poking above the ground. And I don't know about you, but I feel in the last few years, I feel like the shoots come up and then sometimes they get stomped down again. Sometimes I feel like I need to cover them with earth again. Sometimes they might stay up. And it's just this like real dance of, am I ready? No. Am I ready? Like retreat, expand. And I guess that's maybe just the place we're in.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I mean, I think one of the things that we can do is use technology as a way to connect with other people so that we can go back and actually connect with each other in a real way and with the earth in a present way. I think, you know, we were talking before we hit record about social media and like the tugs and the pulls and I'm the first one to problematize social media. We have this idea that we're free, that we can connect. But in a lot of ways, we are not in control over how we connect or who we can connect with. And that is, you know, and I think we're going to have to see some new and liberatory technological ways in which we can actually have real grassroots freedom, as opposed to, you know, we all talk about the algorithm, but when what we're really saying with the algorithm is the ways, sorry, I get into this, but the ways in which, in a lot of ways, we're being maneuvered in ways that are not necessarily good for us. And so how do we find that balance between like true deep connection, which we all crave? And I met you on social media and I'm grateful for this. You know what I mean? And so we found a way to move through the stream in a different way. And I think that's one of the things that you're doing with your community as well, is you're carving new paths for people to find that deep connection and do work differently. And it's desperately needed right now.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope that is my intention. And that's where I it feels quite bold and a little bit out there to say, you know, I want to disrupt things. I want it to be different. I want the way that we do business to be different. And I, you know, I came from quite a traditional marketing background. I did things the way that it was often very intuitive. I didn't have any formal training. I didn't go to marketing school or, you know, be taught in certain ways, but it was very much like, these are the structures. This is what we do. You know, we do PR, and then social media came in. Like Facebook didn't exist when I started working with people. Which is crazy to think that, you know, we didn't have all of that, but yet businesses still ran. all my I had clients coming in. I didn't have social media at that point. And there's almost like, I feel like we're being called to bust some of these stories that we've been told and are telling ourselves as well, or kind of exacerbating, I suppose, that, you know, this is the way, this is the only way to do things. And I just have this feeling in my heart, in my bones, that there has to be a different way. And maybe I'll spend my whole life trying to figure it out. I don't know. I kind of hope I get somewhere. But maybe that's why I'm here, to try things and see, you know, put it out there that there is different ways. So yeah, it's a bit of a long-winded way of answering that, but
it is a conundrum that we find ourselves in.
Yeah, that's it. And I think that's why there's so much, there is a lot, like I don't generally do feel nervous at times of like, oh, what if I don't go on social media? What is my business? And that's why I needed to take the break I've just taken, because I needed to see what was beneath it and if there was anything beneath it. And actually there was a lot beneath it that I couldn't even see because of the noise of everything else.
It's a real thing. I mean, I take a couple months off social media a year. And I remember when I first started doing it, I was really scared and really nervous. And one of the things that you have been talking about is honoring the seasons that you're in. We can't be on all the time. And the pressure to create and the ways in which, you know, I noticed, I'm like, wow. And we talked about this on the podcast the first time. I'm like, wow, I am literally giving all of my creativity to social media. That's not good, right? Like for me, that was not a good thing. And I need what I have found works for me is I have to give to myself first. I have to fill my own creative well first, not just the soul well, but like I must do this. And it is vital. And I have a history of burn bright burnout. And I think one of the things that happens with the burnout is that it's not that I love my work. I never burn out on the work itself. It's that I give too much of what actually needs to be held sacred first within me. Does that make sense?
Mm.
And like I actually spent when I spent some time last year, I copied and pasted every single post I've ever written. And I have books that I've written to social media. And I'm like, I could have written a better book than that. You know, like, was that the best use of my writing? Was that the best use of my expression? So I want to find, and I'm still in this, but I want to find ways where I can show up, I can be real, I can be in the moment, but that I can also be doing that in a way that adds something to the world and doesn't drain me and doesn't like, because when you get so drained or so burnt out, right? It's like, well, it's water and fire we're talking about here. We can't do the work anymore. And if the point is to do the work, if the point is to actually share and to connect with people and to hold transformational space for people, we have to be taking care of ourselves.
Yeah.
It is, and I've started to reframe what work looks like because of that.
Yeah, I love hearing that. And that the words that came to me before were I'm in loving service to myself, and that has to come first. And I think it's again, like so many of the things that I feel are necessary, and you probably feel similarly, are things that are going against the grain in some ways, and it's going against what we've been taught. I'm doing air quotes, you obviously can't see me on the podcast, but you know, we've been taught that consistency and keep showing up and post every day and be there and create all these big elaborate like creative posts, and now it's reels and now it's like all these things, and they take so much of our creative time. And actually I think there's a real sense, I've certainly felt like almost a sense of resentment that Instagram is getting that from me, and that I think is what sometimes can burn me out, because I've poured so much creativity into it, and actually for what reason? Because I feel like I should, and I could have poured that creativity into, like you say, a book. I've been saying for years, I want to write a book. And I, you know, show up on Instagram and I, you know, all this, that, and it got to the point where I was just posting. There was like dead flat energy behind it. Nothing, like not all the time. But it just didn't feel nourishing. And I was like, everything, all the insights and wisdom that would come through, I'd like instantly formulate it into how that would translate onto Instagram rather than,
yes,
this is like a creation. Like this could be a book or a writing or something else, but why does it always have to instantly like default to, okay, this is how I'm going to translate it to Instagram.
Absolutely. And like you find yourself writing posts on your walks instead of like just enjoying. you know, or there's also this pressure, I think, to be vulnerable and controversial. And I think both of those things, they're different. But the vulnerability piece, I mean, what if you're just actually happy and peaceful? You're like, there's nothing going on. Social media doesn't reward that. Right, social media actually rewards drama. It rewards controversy. It rewards conflict. And what if you don't want to put conflict out in the world? Yeah. You know, I've seen people like explode by creating controversy. I mean, it's marketing 101, really.
Yeah, yeah. Gosh, yeah. I hadn't ever really thought of it in that way.
And it's like, I'm not even going to put we here, but like, there's this, it's like the way forward is to create more, further and further division. And I got to a point a few years ago where I'm like, I am not participating in this. No. And that felt controversial to just say, no, I'm not going to be part of further pain and suffering. For what? Yeah. And then, you know, with the vulnerability piece, I lose my words even as I say that. It's like, it's not good for my nervous system to be constantly in a vulnerability hangover. Mm-hmm. Like that's not healthy, you know, like, so it's, and I'm a very vulnerable sharer. Like I share very vulnerably, but there are times when I don't think I'm being vulnerable at all. Like I posted a picture, I guess it was 2 weeks ago, just sitting on a Saturday morning. I have lipedema, and posted a picture of my legs. And part of that is a political statement in a sense, because I get tired of going on to platforms that don't show my body, that don't show, and you know, as coming back to the sacred all forms, I am an embodiment of the goddess, and my legs are part of that. But it was also just a very casual moment. I wasn't feeling vulnerable at all. Shared my legs before, and I got a lot of love, which was also was beautiful and wonderful, and I got a lot of hate, and all of a sudden I'm in a controversy that I just like, I just was posting a picture of my legs on a Saturday morning, and basically claiming space for my body in the world, and that shouldn't be controversial. You know what I mean? Like, but
yeah,
but like I got people in my messages telling me I was going to die.
Wow.
And like, but not like everyone's going to die, because we all will, but it felt threatening. Like it was abusive. I received a lot of abuse over just simply being in the world and saying, hi, here I am. And it took time out of my life in a way that I didn't, that I hadn't planned on, I hadn't intended on, you know. I was just unpacking my house that weekend and, you know, ending up in tears because a stranger wants to, you know, abuse me and say horrible things.
And that's, yeah. And I mean, I am sorry that you experienced that, because it does seem, unfortunately, that social media brings out the best and the worst in humanity. And I try and be empathetic to all at times, but then there's also a time and a place where it's just not okay. It's not okay.
Yes.
I don't even have the words.
I'm a gentle warrior, but I can be a warrior. There's a fierceness in me as well that, you know, I do stand up for these things, and that is one of them. There are others as well. But
I love that about you. Like, I feel that like fierce protection from you, but also that like beautiful, soft, like that goddess energy, that like nurturing, like, and I think that's why people feel so safe with you in your programs and in your offerings, because you like the space you hold is just, you feel held. Like, there are, like, that's such a silly thing to say, the space you hold, you feel held, but you truly, truly feel like there is just this presence of protection and integrity, and but then a real gentleness to it as well. And I think that's such a gift to be able to offer people. And I'm so grateful that even when you have these horrible things, like people saying things, you still say, nope, I'm gonna stand up and I'm gonna still do my heart work, because this is what I'm here to do.
Thank you so much. That really means a lot to me. And I mean, compassion is gentle and fierce, right? And the goddess is gentle and fierce. And I think one of the things I wasn't expecting when I started my business, I wanted to start an enchantment business. Like, how can we be more enchanted? How can we, like, very... I did a lot of pre-work before I started the business, and you know, like that dream space, and like you're mapping it out and you're just like really in the why and you just know, right? I keep all of that and I go back to it almost every day, because something can happen when you enter into business. And especially this online world that we're talking about, which can be both beautiful and ugly, and not ugly in a beautiful way, because there's beauty even in the ugly, where sometimes like it can feel like your innocence can get lost, or you start to get bitter, or all of these kinds of things. I come back to that place, that pure place. And that's what I anchor into. And sometimes it's like a puppy. I go out away from it. And I'm like, no, that's not what I'm here for. It's like remembering, what am I here for? What am I here for? What am I here for? And one of the wonderful things about this world that we're in, this tension, all these tensions and all of these contradictions and all of this kind of stuff that we are having to confront, is I have discovered a strength inside of me I did not know I had. And that's kind of cool.
That is very cool.
You know, and it's not something that the girl who was dreaming could have imagined, but I am a woman now and I feel like, all right, bring it on. Bring it on. Bring it on, nasty messages. Bring it on. Bring it on. Bring it on. Because I know who I am I know why I'm here, and I always say this, you shall not pass. So yeah, I've had to fiercely protect myself. And so maybe that's what comes across when I'm holding others, is because I don't want other people to ever feel alone or to feel like they're crazy for feeling these things. And I want them to know that there's somebody in their corner.
And when you know you have that person in your corner, then like the possibilities open up, I feel. Like when you just know, even if you just know that you've got that one person fighting for you, it can be the difference between following your heart work or not, or following the dream or not, you know, whatever phase you're in your life. I'd actually really love to know a little bit more about that enchantment business right at the very beginning, because I don't think we've ever talked about like what did you do when you very first started? Like what was the business? I know your business now, and most people probably would, but how did it start?
Well, I didn't have an enchantment business when I started. I had an enchantment dream.
Okay.
I had a coaching business, and I went to the hot marketer in town. I did my dissertation, my cultural anthropology my work on an art scene in Hamilton, Ontario, and I met a lot of creative entrepreneurs, and I realized, ooh, you can do something else. That's so neat. So when I when it came time for me to start a business, I did coach training. I hired someone else to do my website, and I hired the hot marketer. Like everybody had their cool, you know, this is a beautiful brand, but I was afraid of who I was. And in that meeting, where I'm about to say, I want to talk about spirit, they literally said to me, you should never talk about spirituality. Right. So here I am, this, basically this young trained academic, has coach training, and going to marketing people, and they're telling me, don't go there. You're not going to succeed there. You need to go here. And so I did coach training for academics who wanted to leave academia, and nobody came. Nobody came. No one. But the website, beautiful business cards. It was beautiful. I thought, just show up. I had an office. Nobody came. And the thing is, academics don't know that they want to leave academia until they leave. They're still holding on. It's a very bad market. And also, when you are in graduate school, you have access to free counseling and free academic counseling and all of it, right? It's very bad. Plus, I wasn't doing what I wanted to do, which was spirit. And what changed for me was I had a moment where it was just this complete moment of surrender, you know, and how expensive it is to have someone do your brand and a website and the training and all of this. And I think, you know, for me, I think I'd spent $10,000 in the first year. No, more than that because of rent. Probably $17,000-$18,000, somewhere in there, which as a graduate student that was an entire year's income. And nobody, so I'm just like on the floor and I'm like, what am I going to do? And I prayed and I just said, I surrender. I give you 9 months. I will give everything I have. I will go to spirit. I will share that dream. I will share the real dream. And if I am not making a living within 9 months. I'm leaving. Because no,
yeah.
I'm not doing it. Like, and I wasn't making a living within 9 months, but I was making money within 3. And that is when I started in Chantyre every day. So, and I'm actually bringing it back. I will be bringing it back. I just have to figure out when and how. At that point, it was a free 108-day pilgrimage to your everyday life. And I just held space for 3 months for that 108 days. And I also got the message from that time that I needed to go back to Glastonbury. I had done some of my research in Glastonbury on goddess pilgrimage. And I just got this very, very strong message. I needed to go back. We did not have the money. Somehow it arrived. Stacy found it. I think she either had a transcription or we got a tax refund or something. But she, and at that point we were living together, but we were still separate in the kind of financial kind of way. And she sent me. And so I did this everyday enchantment pilgrimage. And while I was in Glastonbury, I knew it was time for me to start offering priestess training.
Hmm.
And so that was the summer of 2014. And then the fall of 2014, I opened it up. I came back, I got off the plane, and the first thing I said was, I'm ready.
Oh, I just got goosebumps. I love hearing that story. Well, how powerful. And also, you don't hear the challenges very often when people talk about their business journey. You know, you don't hear so much about the things that didn't quite go to plan. and I think it's really inspiring to hear them, to be honest. I think it needs to be heard, because there's this idea of, you know, yeah, you decide to launch, like, you can. One of the things that I realized over the last couple of years, when I've done a lot more around nervous system support and resiliency and looked into more trauma-informed ways of holding space, is this realization that it's actually the easy bit is marketing, like getting everything looking pretty, like having your logo designed, having your website, having, you know, all these things, all the practical things are actually, they're the easy bit, really. Yeah. They cost money, of course, but they're not hard to bring to life. What's underneath that, and the beliefs that we've holding, the fears, the all of that, that's what's going to make the difference in your business or not. And so many yes. people come into it thinking, well, I've got to have all the shiny stuff. I've got to have all the funnels set up. I have to, the funnel thing, you know, all of the words that we're told we need to do. And then it's like, okay, I've done all this, now what? And then it's often tumbleweed.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, you learn how to do those traditional things in your own way.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Cause I mean, there is value to some of this traditional knowledge, right? Because, but I think what makes this kind of work different is that there's more value on true connection and the constant kind of question, like, okay, so how do I do this in integrity? All of those kinds of things that happen, that, you know, is McDonald's really asking that question? Maybe, mm-hmm. maybe they are. We're talking about
human beings, you know, like yeah, the thought of putting human beings into a funnel.
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't sit right with me. And for some people, like, I totally understand, but like, we're not, it takes away the human side of things so much.
Yeah.
Language, I guess. Maybe it's just it is, language.
Like all the emphasis on numbers.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, do you understand, like, every single number is a person, like a human, it's a human, like it's it is not an it. Like, And I agree with you in terms of, you know, having that stuff set up. And I think there's this myth that gets formed that that's the way. Like, and you know, when I came back, I did not know anything about code, websites. I found a theme I could make work with very little. It took me years to even figure out how to center text. Like, I'm not kidding. I took it all down and I did my own thing. And it wasn't until this year that I had a designer bring my vision to life in a way that I just simply don't have the skill for. But we worked on that collaboratively for a year and a half. And she's also been in my programs and is, you know, and so knows me and my work intimately and was able to do things for me I didn't even ask for, that she just had a vision. But she had a vision because she knew me. She had spent, I mean, probably 100 hours, if or hundreds of hours even, over the years with me. And I trusted her. I trusted she wasn't going to sit there and tell me, well, you can't talk about spirit,
Yeah.
right? But you're the I'll show you the podcast viewers, maybe we can take a picture. That was my old logo.
Oh my
It was a
goodness.
bike.
Bike.
It's a bike. It's a line drawing of a bike. And because one of the questions that they asked was, if you were a car, what kind of car would you be? And I said, I wouldn't be a car. I'd be a bike. But I actually wouldn't even be a bike. I'd be feet.
Yes.
But that's when they like, oh, well, she'd be a bike. And it like the students and all this kind of thing. But yeah, very different.
How amazing to be able to reflect on that journey, though. I mean, they all every stage has a place, right? Even if we don't necessarily, you know, like we kind of can't necessarily see it at the time. There's always something. It's taking us to the next thing, right? Oh, wow. Talking of priestessing, where you were talking about launching priestess, how one of the things I'd love to like hear from you is, and I think it was Stacey that said this last in the calls that I was on about ne not necessarily saying like calling herself a priestess, but priestessing like in her life. So like using the term priestessing. And what I'd love to know is like, how do you bring that term, like how do you priestess your business? How do you bring that into your business? Because everyone here, you know, listening has some kind of calling, whether they're doing their work, heart work yet, or calling to do it. But how do you bring and weave that essence of priestessing? And what does it even mean, into your business?
I mean, a lot of what I've been doing over the years is actually bringing priestessing to people who don't think they're priestesses, and yet I see it. And I think back in 2018 when we first had this conversation, off, or maybe even while we were talking, I said, "I see the priestess in you. You may not want to call yourself a priestess, but I see the priestess in you," and that's often the case. I often see the priestess in people. And it doesn't concern me at all whether people want to say, call themselves a priestess. That's not the point. And one of the things I did share last week was we don't need more priestesses, right? We just need more people who are fully alive and fully expressed and fully in their power, right? That's really what we need. And so that's what we try and work with. And it's really about, you know, in a leadership kind of capacity, it's really bringing mindful, compassionate leadership into the world and a sense of presence. And so, and also that connection. So for Stacy, she priestesses through, it's a verb, it's an action, it's a thing you do. And for me, it's also a thing that I am. But I'm also many other things. Like, that's not the only thing that I am. And I think we can get caught up in identity in a way that's not necessarily always healthy. It can be very powerful, actually, to claim identity. And that has been true for me in this way. But so for Stacy, she priestesses through empathy and through her own compassion and her own ways of, you know, she's been in recovery for like, gosh, is it over a decade now? Somewhere in there. And so her part of her journey and part of her, the way in which she shares is really looking at priestessing in that way. She really loves Kuan Yin. That's her goddess. And she also loves being in nature, right? And experiencing the spirit and just experiencing the sacred in nature. And also she's before COVID anyway, is like becoming a potter. And so also kind of priestessing in this way. So priestessing through her creativity as well. And so there's a lot of different ways of priestessing. And one of the things that I always say to people is you will priestess in your own way. So I can tell you, I can only take you so far and I can only define it so much. At a certain point, it's for you to claim it. It's for you to say, what is it to be a priestess? We have one woman who talks about living a handmade life, and that's her way of priestessing. Other people bring it into their corporate work. Can you imagine having a priestess in the boardroom who
powerful.
Is holding space for you and you don't even know it? Right? People have brought it into schools, in your family, your daughter, you know, like all of these ways that we can bring it into our lives. And so it's a big question. How I priestess my business though. Mm-hmm. How do I priestess my business? I look at, so I'm going to look at my planner right now because I write down intention, sacred space, service. So it's an approach. It's how do I show up to the desk? Because not all the work is group work or talking to people or mentoring, all that. Some of the work is the to-do list and the admin. And all of the things that go on behind the scenes, from making PDFs, because I do most everything myself. Stacy works with me full time, but most everything, we're just doing everything, right? There's a lot to do. People don't necessarily know that. They don't necessarily see that, right? And so how do you sit down to it? Do you, you know, because you can sit down to it in joy. You can sit down to it with complete devotion. Or you can sit down to it like, sorry. Yeah. Like, and sometimes that's true. Let's just be honest. You know, it's life. So I try and create sacred space for myself. I have an altar in front of me. I try and light candles. I do those kind of outward things to remind myself that here I am. I make my office a temple. And when I open programs, this one has been a strange opening actually, because we moved and the website launched at the same time. And, that's a whole other conversation, but the boundaries of the course opening have been more permeable than normal. But normally I would open and hold the container of the course opening, right? And then I close it. Right. So I'm just in the process of finishing up a pre-registration period. And I've decided right in this moment that I'm taking a pause this week. There's 3 weeks before the program opens. And normally this would be a period of intense activity. And I've decided that I need a week to just have a lot of white space, priestess myself, and create a new container so that I can complete this opening. And part of it's holding the vision, and part of it is just really knowing and believing that the work matters, that it can touch people, and that my job, my sacred job, is to share it.
And the pause, I said this to someone the other day, is like, it feels like nothing's happening, but actually I think that's when the most happens. But it's going against the grain of what we're told, you know, like a launch, you're supposed to be like, go, 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 go. And then exhaustion on the other side. But actually, why not take a week to pause and trust that all of that energy and all that work and all that nourishment is only going to enrich that offering? And yeah, it takes a lot of trust. It does take a lot of trust, but I love that you have, like, you are giving that to yourself, because I feel like it probably would give a lot of other people permission to do the same.
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, part of being a priestess and doing business and bringing them together is that the work, that even all that work is also of service. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like finding new ways and showing new ways. And yeah, just doing your best along the way, because we're human.
Yeah. And work, like, it's redefining the word work as well, isn't it? I think, because, you know, again, society says work is the 9 to 5, the visible productivity times, or the things that we're told are productive. But there is so much work. Like, that's what I've realized in this last month, taking some space. Like, things are shifting, and I am doing the work on a cellular level. Like, it's not on an outward, like, obvious level, but there's so much going on. And unless we do take the pauses, I don't think that stuff can integrate fully.
No, and I think it's important also to, that integration is so important. Like, that's a word that gets forgotten. And so it's also really important to take care of yourself after a launch and mm-hmm. after a course opening, and integrate that experience. And, you know, I imagine that you work with highly sensitives, empaths, introverts, and I am all of those things. And opening a program, launching, sharing, marketing, it can bring up a lot. And there can be a lot of vulnerability hangover. It can be a very intense experience. And so I always encourage people to go at their own pace, to go slow, and to take care of themselves through the whole thing. And it's a muscle. The truth is, you're always learning.
And there's always, I don't think I've ever launched anything yet where I haven't felt all of my stuff come up every time. It's like, and so I think that's why I've had to almost step back in some ways of doing, I guess, launches, big launches or anything, because sometimes you're just not in the space and have the capacity to hold and see all that stuff come up again, and it can be really exhausting. So I think it's okay to not do the big all singing all dancing launches that we're told we're supposed to do, and just, like, you know, again, it's redefining it. We're in this place of, like, doing things differently and trying stuff, and maybe it will work, maybe it doesn't work how you expected it, maybe it works even better than you could ever imagine, but just trying, yeah, to again come at it as a human, not as a machine, because, you know, if you're a machine, it's very easy to tick all the boxes and be like, yeah, you know, show up. But when you're human, like, stuff happens, your rhythms change, you might not sleep well, you might feel totally terrified at something, or you might just get that, like, for me, when I launch something, it's almost like the minute I launch it and put it out to the world, every fear about rejection, about abandonment, about not belonging, about not being liked or good enough, all of those come back up. And I'm like, really? Again? Surely I've dealt with this. But no, every time it comes up over and over again. And it's like learning to almost to be with that.
The comparison stuff. Oh my gosh. Every time.
Yeah. I'm glad I'm not alone.
You're not alone. You're not alone.
But yet here we do it over and over again. There's something that's cool. Like something's like, come on, keep going. I'm like, oh, okay. All right. I'll do it again. It's just a deeper thing that's calling, right?
It is a different kind of job.
Yes. Yes. My last question for you, before we just come to an end, is how do, and we've talked about it a little bit, but for me, it's so important to be in service to myself and to, you know, I don't necessarily always like using the word self-care because I think it has, you know, lots of different meanings to it. But how do you support yourself in doing your heart work from a, like from a practical, like body, human point of view? Like what are your non-negotiables to keeping you, your energy protected, keeping your, you know, humanness supported when you are doing your heart work?
I'm not always good at this and I'm not always perfect. So I just want to say that. So if you're listening, you know, it's okay if you need to find your center again. So that's one thing, is finding your center again. I have to keep coming back to my why all the time. Like that is actually really important to me. On a practical level, I have to sleep. If I am very well resourced, I can get away with 6.5 hours of sleep, but I've been tracking my sleep for a year and I sleep on average 8 hours a night. It's a non-negotiable for me. I don't have children, so they're not waking me up in the middle of the night. But sleep is important. I don't teach in the dark anymore. So I don't meet anyone. I don't teach. And even though it sucks for time zones, because the best time zone thing would be for me to be teaching in my evening or what feels like the evening in the winter, which is 4 o'clock. but after doing that for years, I have to take care of myself first. So I don't tend to meet anybody in the mornings. And I have between 1 and 4, maybe 1, 4:30, where I do the external work with people. So I keep my mornings clear and I log off. So once dinner time comes around, I am not coming back into the office to work. So that's, and one of the other thing I do is I actually make spiritual practice a major priority. It wasn't always true. And it was very interesting for me because here I am teaching this priestess program, not having any time to do the practices, not having any time to do my own spiritual work, and yet seeing all these amazing results from people who are doing it. And I'm just like, oh, right. I need to do that again, because it's not like I never did it. It's just, you can get busy, right? And you can like lose your priorities. And so, and I think there's a certain level of stress and things like that when you're, you know, self-employed. They're not the same in traditional employment. So I make it a priority to do my spiritual practices. I chant, I meditate, I do yoga. I pray. I try and get outside as much as I possibly can. I'm not that good at it, but I need to show up to myself in my journal, pull cards, things like that. The card pulling is really about inner reflection for me. And I am doing my best when I am actually eating whole, nutritious food and moving. You know, so, and I know those things can be, you know, the, what does that look like? All that kind of thing. It doesn't matter, just following your own body. But really, it's just about understanding that your joy and your vitality and your expansion in your own life is actually what is magnetic. That is the real abundance, because then it actually doesn't matter whether or not what the results are, like the results you're getting in your business. I'm using air quotes, everyone. because you are feeling alive. So I try and make those things the priority. I also have a life. I live with, well, I experience depression, and I have my whole life. And so I give myself space if I'm having a day to not work, if I don't need to, you know. That's becoming less and less something I need to kind of dance with, but it has been something I have danced with in the past. And I think the final thing that I'll say, I could probably keep talking, be an hour here, is I do not, as much as I possibly can, go online when I am not operating with a full brain. And what I mean by that is, if I am in reactive brain, and my whole brain is not on and not working because I've been activated or triggered or something is going on, I don't go on and rant. I don't go on and like write a post. And the few times that I have, I will take them down. Because that's not the energy that I want to be putting out, and it's not healthy for me. That's not the place that I want to be showing up in. And I had to figure out that there was nothing invulnerable about that or inauthentic about that. That was just simply me taking care of my nervous system and my mental health. So I no longer do things on social media that, what is the word that I'm looking for? But that's bad for my mental health. As much as possible, other than being on social media in itself.
Well, that, yeah.
conversation.
Yeah, we need a whole podcast show for that conversation. I love all of that though. Like, and it's often the things that are the most supportive to us aren't always like the shiny, pretty things, are they? You know, it's not always like the bubble baths, and much as they're really nice, if that's your thing. But yeah, like doing that. Like, I love that you shared that about not going on when you're activated, because it's not healthy for anybody. It doesn't, you know, it's not supportive to you fundamentally, but also probably to the people that are receiving. So yeah, so thank you for highlighting that. Oh, lots of things. And I really, really resonate with the not doing things after dark. That I'm gonna adopt that, because I do not feel my best in the evenings. And actually, it is the dark. At this time of year, when it's light, I have the energy. But again, it just comes back to honoring our rhythms and our seasons, doesn't it?
Yeah. Just because you can work 9, 10, 12 hours a day on the day. And I know that you are working with, you know, days, a couple of days, right?
Yeah.
You have to take care of your energy. Like, yeah. Because otherwise, okay, I did lots on Monday, but then I'm exhausted the rest of the week.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Wow. There's been so much in there. So priestess certification starts on the 23rd of June, right?
Yes.
Yes. Do you want to just share a little bit more about like where people can find out about that, if they're feeling called to the priestess path? Anything else that you want, or just share where people can connect with you if they're listening to this after the 23rd of June?
Head over to vanessasage.com and you can get a free Meet the Goddess e-course. It's a 5-day, just a beautiful introduction to the goddess over on my website. And there you'll find out anything that I'm doing. Right now it is priestess certification that opens once a year. And right now it's opening, yes, June 23rd. And it's just a very beautiful, immersive, deep dive in into both yourself and then how you can also do the work out in the world in the way that you want to do it.
I love that. Well, I urge anyone that's listening to this and has felt like this spark or something, curiosity, to check out all of Vanessa's offerings. And she has so many beautiful things throughout the year as well. So just make sure you're tuning in, even if you're not listening, if you're listening to this after Priestess certification is no longer open. But it's been such an honor to share this time with you, Vanessa. Thank you for everything and everything that you do in the world.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening and tuning into this episode of the Heartwork Podcast. It's been such an honor to talk to Vanessa and to share all of her incredible wisdom and insights. And I hope that you have received nourishment and that things have resonated for you and that you have things that you can take away and bring into your own heartwork. If you would like to connect more or to connect with other souls on this journey, I would love to invite you to check out the Heartwork Community, which is a beautiful sacred space for other heartworkers, other people doing their heart's work and stepping into this new way, discovering, experimenting, finding ways to run their business in a way that feels truly, truly nourishing to the whole being. The Heartwork Community is a beautiful, intimate group of souls who are all committed to experimenting and changing the ways that we do business to feel really good. And we have co-working sessions, we have mastermind sessions, we have an oracle circle, and we also have a community on Mighty Networks where we can share what we're doing, share questions, and just support each other. And it's truly a beautiful space. So I'd love to invite you to check that out if it feels like it's calling to you. If you would like to do this work alongside other souls who are also committed and devoted to bringing their passions and their visions to life and stepping into this new way of leadership, then please check it out. The links will be in the show notes, or you can check it out on my website, laurenbarber.co, and look at the Heartwork Community. If you feel like leaving a review or subscribing or also sharing this with other people that you think might enjoy it, then I would be so grateful. It really, truly supports me and the show and the other people that are coming onto the show and their incredible work. And I would love to hear from you if something has sparked something, if you feel called just to share an insight. You can do that by dropping me an email, lauren@laurenbarber.co, or also connecting with me on social media. There are two spaces you can connect with me at laurenbarber.co, or also at the Heartwork Studio, which is the space where the heartwork is really housed and lives and is a growing space for others in business. And here you'll find me sharing lots of little droplets of wisdom and business knowledge and sharing my journey in business as well there. So for now, I just want to say a huge thank you for listening, and I will see you next time.